I stopped at Cracker Barrel up there, and I was alone, so I kind of listened to what was going on around me. And at the next table, there were three Baptist ministers. Now, they weren't from Joplin. They were from Neosho. And I kind of overheard their conversation. And one of them said, you know, nobody's perfect. We're here in Joplin. Nobody around here knows us. Let's confess our sins. You know, what are some of the things we do that we would not want anybody to know about? It's just the three of us here. And the first preacher says, well, once in a while, frankly, when I'm a little stressed, I have a little, what Rush Limbaugh would call, an adult beverage. I drink a little alcohol. Oh, okay. And the next preacher said, well, you know, my wife and I, once in a while, not very often, but once in a while, we smoke a little weed. I know it's illegal and I shouldn't be doing it, but just between the three of us. And the third preacher said, well, says, my big vice is I like to gossip, and I can't wait to get back to Neosho. I hope you don't believe that. My wife is always angry when I do things like that, when I set the thing up as something that really happened when really it didn't. And I've coached people to do that. She says, you shouldn't tell them to do that. If you ever want to tell a joke, don't say, let me tell you a joke. Because all of a sudden, everybody's defenses go up. But if you can ease into it. But gossip is something that usually this is televised on the net, you know, so I can go back and see how I did and how I looked and everything else. I can only take a little of that. But knowing that today, I brought a visual aid, because today I do want to talk about gossip. Gossip is a big business, and inquiring minds want to know. Now, this is old because I talked about this a few months ago, I think, in Springfield. And so I bought this as a visual. This thing cost $5, over $5. I figured it'd be a couple of bucks. But, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in here you want to know. Like Ellen says, Ellen baby bombshell. I don't even want to know what that's about, but there's a picture of Ellen DeGeneres, who I think pretty obviously is not the one that's going to have the baby. I don't know. But and there's all kinds of other interesting things in here that inquiring minds want to know about. Frankly, I've rarely opened it up, but just bought it as a visual aid, really. But we do hear a lot of gossip, and it does get our attention. So I thought, well, maybe it's worth talking about today. So I looked it up in the dictionary. What is gossip? The definition there is rumor or report of an intimate nature. Rumor or report of an intimate nature, something that is personal, you know, something that generally we don't want people knowing about. Sometimes we kind of relish that. You know, if I told you some of the things I know about Tim Martins, I don't know if I'd hold your attention, because I don't have any dirt on him. I'm sorry. As far as I know, he's a good and an upright and righteous person, and that's not very interesting. But gossip is wrong. That's the one point I want to leave you with today. Gossip is wrong. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Leviticus 19 and verse 16. It says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. And you know people like that. Maybe you have been a person like that. Maybe you still are. Neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. We're not to be talebearers. Now, I'm a part-time member of the broadcast media community, and I've noticed one thing about good broadcast journalists. They're great gossips. They dig out the stuff that nobody wants to know, and I'm just another pretty face on the radio. I don't really get into that much, but some people do, and in fact, the guy I work for has been trying to expand my role with his company, and I don't want to do it, because basically I'm retired. And basically, I have a church to pastor in Springfield, although that isn't a very difficult job because we have a good, solid congregation, and I get a lot of help whenever I need it from the home office. But he one time said, you ever done any investigative reporting? I said, really, I haven't, and I don't want to. Because that's getting in there, digging out stuff that people really don't want you to know. And maybe there's a place for that in society, but I just don't feel I'd be good at it. Turn to Romans 1. Romans 1, right at the beginning of the book, and verse 28. Romans 1, 28. I guess I do have something about Mr. Martins. I can tell you, though you don't need to know this, that he gets a little long-winded once in a while. At least he did today. I don't know whether that's common or something that happens a lot. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this is Romans 1:28, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. My margin says a mind void of judgment, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Sometimes gossip is a matter of envy. You know, something nice happens to somebody, somebody gets some praise, and there's usually one or two people that say, yeah, but you know what I know about him? You know what he's really like? And gossip starts. Murder, debate, deceitful, malignity, you know, ill will toward somebody. Whisperers. We'll talk about this a little later, but you don't usually get up on a soapbox and gossip. It's usually whispered. Come here, let me tell you something about so-and-so. And everybody, you know, your ears perk up usually. Backbiters. Backbiters. It's not done openly sometimes. It's done in secret. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. You know, sometimes it makes us feel better when we make other people look bad. Now, I'm not a big Jerry Springer fan. But in Springfield now, on one of the channels, they run Jerry Springer back-to-back with a show called Paternity, where a woman claims to be that her child is the son of some other guy. And sometimes, I think there's one that they were promoting. I don't watch this show, but the judge is saying 16 men, and she doesn't know which one the father is. But that makes me feel a little better when I watch that trash, that stuff, because at least I know my faults. I know I have faults. At least I'm not like those people. I think sometimes that's why people watch it, because no matter what you're like, at least you're not like that. You've got something going for you. There was also a sitcom years ago. I got tired of it after a while, but at first I thought it was funny. Maybe you've seen it. It's called My Name is Earl. Now, if you've ever watched it, Earl is, I don't know how low he is on the socioeconomic ladder, but it's definitely below me. This is a guy who apparently never had a job, took advantage of other people, was a criminal, and all of a sudden found a winning lottery ticket. So to Earl's credit, he now has, I don't know how much money, millions of dollars or something, and as his quest is going back and trying to right all the wrongs he's done to people over the years. But you look at Earl and his brother, I forgot the brother's name, and the people that are in there, and you can look and say, that makes me feel pretty good about me, because I'm not like Earl or like the people on Jerry Springer, which is a daytime talk show that has bouncers because it gets violent once in a while, and they have to throw some of these guests out or step between them. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Now, some gossip is true, but some of it is invented. I dare say a lot of this stuff is invented. I don't know. I've heard about people who've worked their way through college writing articles for publications like this. I was going to say rags, but disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Does that show love when you gossip about somebody? Implacable, unmerciful, knowing that the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in those that do him, do them. So people take pleasure in gossip. Again, in finding out dirty little secrets about people. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4 and verse 15. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Sometimes it's people who really don't have a life, who would just as soon meddle in somebody else's business and criticize them and not have to look at their own problems and their own shortcomings. I think one wise person, I think it was my aunt, said that a lot of the people who are accusing people of certain things ends up they're guilty of the same things, only sometimes more so. I don't know if that's always true, but meddling, you know, getting in there and finding out these dirty little secrets and being willing to share them with everybody. We can do a great deal of harm by what we say. I know a lot of people, again, maybe it's a lack of self-esteem, say, well, nobody ever listens to me anyway. And then they feel kind of innocent because, you know, nobody's going to take this seriously if I say it. So through their own lack of self-esteem sometimes, people will gossip and say harmful things, assuring themselves that, well, nobody's going to pay it. Nobody pays attention to me, so nobody's listening. Nobody cares anyway. Well, that's not true. James 3, James chapter 3 and verse 3. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us and turn their whole body. Behold, also ships, though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned about by a very small helm. You know, just a little rudder. Whatsoever the governor lists. A lot of King James English here that's hard to say. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. You know, you may not be much, but you can sometimes say a lot of big things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. Smokey Bear will tell you that. You know, just how much damage we can do with just a little bit of fire when it catches and spreads. And that's the same thing with the tongue. It's the same thing with the things that we say. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell or Gehenna. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things of the sea are tamed and have been tamed by mankind. You know, you can go to SeaWorld and see these huge whales that have been tamed and are under the control of people. Of course, sometimes they get out of control and people die. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It's dangerous. Therewith we bless God the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursings. And he says, my brethren, these things ought not to be. But that's the way we are. We can do great harm and great damage just by a few little words. You know, look back in history, and, you know, there are wars that have started over rumors. Yakov Smirnov does a thing where he says, how many of you, when you put toilet paper up, put it so it's flowing over the top of the roll? How many of you put it under, so it's flowing out from under the roll? He says, wars have started over things like that. And I thought, that is ridiculous. Why would anybody hang the toilet paper up so it came out under the roll? What kind of mental giant would come up with a thought like that? No, I guess I missed his point. I found out later that maybe some of you are animal lovers. My two little granddaughters just went back to Texas today and brought their dog with us, with them, to leave with us. So we now have a dog. We haven't had a dog for years. And a couple of weeks ago, my wife was talked into adopting a little kitten. This is a cute little animal. I'm not particularly fond of cats. It's hard not to love this one. But wait till she gets big and nasty and mean. But I understand that if you have animals in the house, which we have not had for a while, if you put the toilet paper coming over the top, they tend to play with that and unroll it. So maybe there's something to that. But I still don't understand why anybody would do that. But anyway, Proverbs 11:9, again, pursuing the idea that what we say can be dangerous, it can hurt, it can be harmful. Proverbs 11:9, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, and through knowledge shall the just be delivered. But we can destroy our neighbor. We can destroy our friends, our fellow workers, members of our family, just by what we say. My grandmother used to say, and maybe your grandmother did too, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So don't let what somebody says about you bother you. That ain't true. And we can see a lot of cases of it in bullying. Now, you hear about bullying and cyberbullying. Now, when I was a kid, I was bullied. I mean, I was slugged and punched in the face and kicked and all kinds of things like that. And I can name the bullies who were a part of my life from the time I can remember till the time I got out of high school. And there weren't that many of them, but they seemed to target me. There were one or two of these guys that would target me. And so I was bullied. But you read about cases now and you hear about cases now where people are bullied by what is said, not necessarily by a physical act, to the point of suicide sometimes. Every once in a while, you hear about a teenager killing themselves over what somebody said about them. Maybe some gossip that started. There is, again, a consequence to gossip. Proverbs 18:8. Well, we're back in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They're just as damaging as a physical attack. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Have you ever had that happen to you where something is said? Maybe it's not an insult or a matter of gossip, but something that you hear, maybe something that you're concerned with, and it goes down to the innermost part of your belly. You can feel it inside. Just knowing something, fearing something, supposing something. We have a guy in the Springfield church who started calling those things Don Pirwitz moments. Because I've probably told you this, sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night, which for me is about 9 p.m., but I'll wake up in the middle of the night, whenever it is, and I'll worry about something. And I can't get back to sleep. And you know, 99% of the time, it seems, whatever I'm worried about is not worth worrying about. Doesn't really happen. But what if? What if? How many of you have ever said what if or thought what if? But you can physically feel that anxiety. Exodus 22 and verse 9. Exodus 22 and verse 9, again, talking about the consequence of what we say and gossip and unkind things that we might say. For all matter of trespass, whether it be the, I've got the wrong, 22:19, I think. Oh, well, I'll find it here somewhere. Exodus 22 and verse 9. I may be in the wrong place. Okay, I'll read it anyway and we'll see if it fits. For all matter of trespass, whether it be ox or for ass or for sheep or for raiment or for... any manner of lost thing, which that's not it. But somewhere in there, it says something meaningful about that. That fits this. You can just make that a personal Bible study. I woke up this morning and worried about something like that happening. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Oh, Ezekiel 22 and verse 9. Okay, that Z looked like an X. Ezekiel. I knew it was something simple like that. Ezekiel 22 and verse 9. I found it. Ezekiel 22 and verse 9. In these are men that carry tales of shed blood in thee, and eat upon the mountains in the midst, commit lewdness. Men that carry tales to shed blood. Sometimes what we say and can say can lead to physical bloodshed. And again, I've talked about wars have started over silly things like that. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. I'll have to make my Z's look a little less like X's. My wife often criticizes my penmanship, and I don't think it's a big deal. Now I do, that I got misled by my own penmanship there. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. The point being that gossip can destroy relationships. Can't they? Can't it? Gossip can destroy relationships. Across the page in my Bible, Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he that covers a transgression seeks love. Covers a transgression seeks love. But he that repeats a matter separates very friends. Sometimes we need to just cover things up, just to not let it go any further. Of course, if you're into conspiracy theories, that's a favorite word, I think, is cover up. They're trying to cover something up. Well, sometimes there's a place for that, particularly in our personal relationships. Just keeping our mouth shut when we know a juicy bit of gossip that will maybe embarrass somebody we don't like, maybe we'll embarrass somebody who's just been praised for something that we know they're not worthy of, or maybe saying something that will make us feel a little better about ourselves. Well, how can we deal with gossip? How can we deal with gossip? Again, Proverbs, a little further along in chapter 20 and verse 19. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flatters with his lips or entices. We don't need to listen to gossip, but it's enticing. Inquiring minds want to know. And so it entices us. It tickles us to want to find out dirt about people, particularly when they're famous people, well thought of people. I don't remember whether it was this publication or another, but I saw a headline in there, and I read enough of it to, this made me sick. It was about a great American hero who I happen to have met, and I happen to know several members of his family, and it linked his name with porn stars and other women of ill repute, and was alleging, of course, he's been dead for decades now, so he can't speak for himself, but alleging that he had affairs with some of these women. I mean, that, it sickened me just to see that. Some things, and I'm pretty sure this was not something that needed to be covered up, because I don't think it ever happened. But sometimes we just need not to be enticed by these things, that the National Enquirer and other publications are trying to do. Romans 16 in verse 17, Romans 16:17, I have therefore, whereof I glory through Jesus Christ, those things which pertain to God. Again, my penmanship has let me down. I'm in the wrong verse, a wrong chapter. All right, Romans 16, verse 17, Somebody needs to give a sermonette on good penmanship. You can call my wife. Now I beseech you, brethren, that you mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which we have learned. There are those who come into our presence and who want to tell us a lot of dirt. Years ago, there was a lot of dirt being spread around about the higher management of the church, the administration. I don't know how much of it was true or how much of it was false, but I chose not to listen to it. Some of it, there was one particular leader who, if he had done everything he was accused of doing, must have been Superman. As I don't think any normal male human being or female human being could do all those things in one lifetime. But sometimes we just need to say enough. And what does it say after that? Avoid them. Sometimes we need to avoid people who are gossips, who want to again entice us and make us feel better about ourselves, maybe, because we can look at somebody and really, really put them down and to know what they're really like. And again, in some cases, maybe this is true. Maybe the person has repented of it, but yet you still want, as one guy I used to work with used to say, you want your pound of flesh. So we need to avoid gossips. We need to avoid trash like this. Again, I bought this just as a visual aid. Somebody's phone's going off. Aha. It's not mine. That's all I know. I'm better than that. I turned mine off before. No. But we all get caught. Usually I forget to turn mine off. I do remember one time giving a sermon, and we had a power outage, and all my power went out in my house, and it was off for a week. This was in 07. And I turned all the lights on in the house. Of course, nothing happened. And went to church. On my way to church, I ran into my neighbor who lives across the street. I says, by the way, and we weren't even living there. We're living with my daughter because she had heat and electricity. I said, if you see my lights go on, call me. Here's my cell phone number. Right in the middle of a sermon, my lights went back on. I got a call. I had mixed feelings, you know, because I knew who was calling and why. And yet I was a little embarrassed that my phone went off, which that's not the only time it happened, but that's one of the hazards of having a cell phone, I guess. But we should avoid gossips. Well, my question would be, what if it's true? What if it's true? Don't inquiring minds need to know? Matthew 18 and verse 15. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained a brother. Have you ever thought of that? You hear some dirt about somebody. Rather than tell somebody beside you about it, why not confront the person themselves? By the way, I heard thus and such. I heard you were a big gossip. I heard you drank once in a while. I heard you smoked weed, whatever. But going to the person themselves. And then, of course, there are subsequent verses here on what to do if that doesn't work. But sometimes, yes, let's say somebody, you do find out something and confront somebody, and it's something that's going to cause them to hurt themselves or to hurt other people, and you need to do something about it. Sometimes we need to do something about stuff we hear like this, but do we actually go to someone who can help? Someone who can help, which would start with, of course, the person who's having the problem. But it may be your pastor. It may be somebody at work, if it's a work-related problem. I managed a group of radio stations, parts of them, one department in several cities over 28 years, and I had a policy. There were certain things you could do that would get you fired immediately. One was my own invention. One was show up drugged or drunk for work, and that happened a few times, and that was immediate dismissal if you showed up drunk for work. Another was if you are found to have been using illegal drugs. And I had a situation where I had to deal with that at one time. My own was what I call lateral griping. If you've got a problem with the way the company is run and you don't like it, don't tell the people on your own level how you feel. Take it to your boss. Take it to your department head. Take it to your manager. And because he or she can do something about it, what can your fellow employee do? Can feel bad about it. And our CEO had a word for that. He called it poisoning the water. When you gripe to a person beside you that can do nothing about it, you're just poisoning the water. You're just making things more difficult for the company and for that individual, and you're not solving the problem. I had a guy take me up on that one time. I think it was before and I always said, look, if you've got a problem with me, don't discuss it among yourselves. You can bring it to me. If you don't feel I'm able to solve the problem, you can go to my superior and tell them what you don't like about me or something I'm doing. You have my permission to do that. That will not get you in any trouble. One of my guys did that. He happened to have known the CEO of the company a lot longer than I had, and he liked to sit around on Saturday nights and drink beer, sometimes a lot of beer. And I had ticked him off about something, and he called our CEO late on a Saturday night and told him about it. And I got a free ride. I got a free trip to the corporate headquarters in Wichita and got to stand on the carpet in front of our CEO and explain what I had done, which I was then told you shouldn't have done. And so I had to undo it. But this guy got the problem solved, and I didn't have any problem with that, really. He worked for us until he decided to retire. But he had done, I feel, the right thing in going to someone who could help and not just poisoning the water. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love. Sometimes we express love by just covering it up, by just not making a big deal of it. Again, sometimes there are times when there may be harmful effects of something that you do need to say something to somebody. But sometimes, and he that repeats a matter separates very friends. Again, doing damage to relationships. But some things should be covered up. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10, 12. Hatred stirs up stripes. Love covers all sins. Sometimes out of love, we just don't have to expose everything, even though inquiring minds want to know. Psalm 32 and verse 7, verse 1. Psalm 32 and verse 1. Psalm 32, 1, blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. What if this person you know about, who has done this dreadful thing, whatever it is, has gotten on their knees before God and repented? Who are you to carry a chip on your shoulder and continue to maybe tell people about it? Maybe it should be covered. And how do you know this person hasn't repented? And if God has forgiven them, who are you, who am I, to keep taking things out on them for whatever it was they did? So if God's forgiven somebody, then we need to be willing to forgive as well. And we don't always know. We don't always know what goes on in a person's closet or bedroom or wherever they get down on their knees and pray to God. We don't need to be speaking negatively of one another anyway. We're brethren. This was brought out in the sermonette. You know, we're a team. We work together. Whatever harms that team or that teamwork, we don't want to be a part of it. I don't. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law and is a And but if thou be a judge of the law, you're not a doer of the law, you're a judge. We should be doers of the law. We need to do what is right, not sit around and be critics, not sit around and be critical of one another. Again, sometimes there may be something that we do need to be critical of, and we should usually, well, should initially deal with the person involved and go to them directly, not just talk behind their back. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Put that stuff aside. Set aside malice. Practice love. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. I think many of us are familiar with this. I remember one minister we had in Springfield at one time, he kept going back to this. It seems every sermon at some point he'd bring out part of 1 Corinthians 13 because it's such a focal centerpiece of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4, charity or love suffers long. Sometimes we have to just put up with things. That's love. It's kind. That's love. Love envies not. And again, so much of gossip is the result of envy. It vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. You know, this person has done this, done that. I wouldn't. I'm much better than that. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. But sometimes we kind of like to think those evil things, don't we? Inquiring minds want to know. Rejoice not in iniquity, rejoice in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's love. We need to practice love. Titus 3 and verse 1. Titus 3 and verse 1. Titus 3, 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and magistrates, to be ready for every good work. Speak evil of no man. Well, except Barack Obama. I know most members of the church tend to be to the right of center, and so I've talked to people who relish the opportunity to badmouth our president. Sure, he's not perfect. Sure, he makes mistakes. But says, speak no evil of no man. Don't be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We're all have been guilty of that to some extent. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, that which we have done according to his mercy, he saved us and washed us. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We have received God's mercy. Are we good at handing that out? You know, that kind of mercy in our own lives, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, being justified by this grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Can we express that same forgiveness, that same love, that, again, God and Jesus Christ showed toward us? Titus 3, 1. Oh, I already read that, didn't I? I've got a couple other scriptures here. What if you're the victim of gossip? What if you're the victim of gossip? Has that ever happened to you? May have happened to, I'll tell you one thing, if you're not the victim of gossip once in a while, I can think of one reason that never happens, because maybe you just never do anything anyway. And so nobody's going to talk about you. I've found that if I try to accomplish anything and do anything, it's going to invite criticism. It's maybe going to even invite gossip. And sometimes those gossips, those people who are critical of me, they may be right. But should we gossip? And what if we are? Finally, it says here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Check my penmanship here. Finally, be ye one of one mind, having compassion for one another, Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing. Oh, but you got to get back at this person. Knowing that you are hereunto, thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it, ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you should be happy. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You know, if you did the right thing, feel good about it. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer unto him that gives of the reason of hope that is within you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you and speak of you as evildoers, that you may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. People will criticize you if you're a Christian. For it's better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Sometimes we suffer for doing the right thing. Sometimes we are the victims of gossip. I've got five questions. Five questions, if you're tempted to gossip, that you should ask yourself. Question one is, does what I'm about to say really need to be said? Does what I'm about to say really need to be said? Two, am I saying this to someone who needs to hear it? Again, my policy at work, when I didn't want people just griping to one another when there was no could be no positive result. Is this someone who really needs to hear it? Usually it's somebody who can give you back feedback and tell you how right you are, or who can do something about it. Again, sometimes there is a place to gripe to somebody who knows how to do it, but is that the person I'm talking to? Here's an important one. Number three, would I want everyone to know I'm saying this, including the person I'm talking about? I mean, how many gossips think about that? Do I want people to know that I'm saying this about so-and-so, and do I want so-and-so to? Well, no, usually it's whispered. Usually it's backbiting. Number four, could what I'm saying hurt someone? Could what I'm saying hurt someone? And number five, this is a big one, am I willing to be held accountable for the damage that what I'm saying might cause? Am I willing to be held accountable for the damage that what I'm saying might cause? Again, the sticks and stones thing, the verbal bullying. You know, if you verbally bullied somebody and they ended up killing themselves or doing something horrible as a result, am I willing to be responsible for that? Matthew 12 in verse 33. Matthew 12, 33. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree will be corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. We're known by our fruit. We're known by what we say. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil? Again, he's speaking to the people who are responsible here, not about them, but to them. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, we eventually will spill our guts and say what's in our hearts. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, you know, those things you don't think are that important. You know, nobody's paying attention. You shall give an account of them in the day of judgment. For by your words shall you be judged. What you say is important. and by your words shall you be condemned. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and the power of love, you shall eat the fruit thereof. Whosoever finds, I guess that's what I wanted to say. Something else about, I should have started back in verse 18. But my point is that death and life in verse 21 are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What are you saying? How are you using your tongue? How are you using your words? Are you using to praise people, to make people feel good, to encourage people, or to slander people, to hurt people, to gossip, to find out and spread what inquiring minds want to know?